नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्विग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेश्यमेत्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दानिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे सिताहिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परा। व्यासाचार्य इंट्रोड्यूस फंडामेंटल यूनिवर्सल ह्यूमन प्रॉब्लम इन द फर्स्ट चैप्टर ऑफ गीता बाय डिस्क्राइबिंग हाउ अर्जुना डिस्कवर्ड हिज संसारा Samsara being the fundamental human problem and being the universal human problem. It was discussed in this scripture. Samsara, which is nothing but the combination of raga, shoka and moha. Because of ignorance, human mind gets attachment towards the things which is nearby to it. And because of attachment, it gets now and then shoka. And because of that shoka, the mind is still more deluded. All put together is called samsara in our scripture, which makes human life completely break down. It's a complete breakdown. Though Arjuna was a successful person in the worldly achievements, he could not avoid this fundamental problem, the problem of low self-image. Though he was a very successful person, suddenly he discovered that I am a lowly person, having lots of problems in my life, and that too not ordinary. Api trailokya rajyasya kinnu mahi krite, he could ask, what if even I get all the three worlds? Mastership over all the three worlds. As long as this low self-image is there in me, what is the benefit of gaining all those things? A urge, a want to be something in every human mind, ignorant mind, wants to be something other than what he is now. And it is because of the dependence. There are very psychological problems every human mind comes across now and then, but at one time in his life this urge or the problem becomes more tangible. Arjuna got this discovery that he also has problem. Though he was having that problem, but he has not discovered it. At this crucial juncture, wherein all the people are ready to fight, wherein emotions are going to go high, suddenly he finds that I am unfit for this life. Initially, he tried to cure himself, as everyone does. He also tried to cure himself, but he found that this problem is not within his limitations, is not within his medication. So, being a man of dharma, he was blessed with the presence of Bhagavan all the time, and suddenly he finds that Bhagavan is in front of him to give guidance. That is because of the dharma phala. When a person is devoted, when a person is dharmic, we find even though he goes through the ups and downs of life, when he wants some help from external help, which is in the form of right counseling, he finds that Bhagavan provides that person some sort of spiritual guidance. As far as Arjuna was concerned, Bhagavan himself was in his presence. So fortunately, he surrendered to the Lord, asking for guidance. Karpanya dosho pada svabhavaha prichamitvam dharma sammodachetaha esreyasya nishitam rohitanme shishyasteham shatimam tvam prapannam. It's a beautiful shloka, turning point for which entire Gita is given to the entire humanity. Seeking guidance from the Lord is an intelligent living. People think that they can solve their problem by their own self-effort or something. Okay, there are some problems which can be solved by self-effort, which should be solved by self-effort. But there are some problems which is not within the control of self-effort. When we find that it is a choiceless situation that we could not go ahead, we have to seek the guidance. Guidance from the Lord, guidance from the scriptures, guidance from the sadhus and satsanga. That is the highest blessing a person can receive in his life. When satsanga is there, we don't know when that satsanga is going to help us. So therefore in our culture it is told, all the time keep the satsanga, whether you are in good position or bad position. If you are in good position, certainly sadhus are not going to ask whatever you have, to give me also a share. So you are going to enjoy, but you keep the satsanga so that you will not be at the top of the world with lot of arrogance. And at the same time, in life when we go down, that also we need some support to hold on, wherein we find all the relatives and friends, and society becomes more selfish. When a person is down, society is not going to help, nor the relatives. They will try to escape. That is the experience of everyone. But satsanga will help that person. Those sadhus don't have anything materially to give. They have something to give you in the form of mental strength, in the form of devotion. That helps the person to stand on his leg. In the same way, Arjuna got that blessing. Fortunately, he could recognize the Jagat Guru in the presence of his own friend. Just 2 minutes before this shloka, Krishna was his simple friend, that's all, nothing else, and who is given a duty called a driver duty. Suddenly he says, oh Bhagavan, you are Jagat Guru, Shishyastegam Shati Maam Swam Prapanna. Initially Bhagavan might have laughed, what this fellow was, suddenly he is becoming my Shishya. So far he was telling, you are my Shishya, try the chariot. Now suddenly he is telling, he is my Shishya. So Bhagavan accepts his Shishyatva, disciplehood, and reveals Atma Swarupa as the only solution for samsara. Because Atma Jnanam is the only solution for samsara. Not for food problem, not for clothing problem, but for emotional dependence, Atma Jnanam is the solution. Arjuna being suffering because of emotional dependence, so Bhagavan gives that solution. Therefore, Acharyas, all the Acharyas in our parampara consider this Gita Shastram as a Shastram for Atma Jnanam. So Atma Jnanam is the tatparyam of this Gita Shastram. Though Gita talks about so many topics, so many subjects like yoga, Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti, Pranayama, meditation, dietary tips, moral values, so many things are talked about in Gita, but what is the tatparyam? What it wants to say to the humanity, what it wants to reveal to the humanity, when we analyze the entire Gita scripture, our acharyas have come across this one factor, that is what? Atma Vidya is the main subject of Gita Shastra. An eyewitness who was there at that time when Gita was given to Arjuna was Bhishmacharya. So he remembered this incident at his deathbed after the war, when Krishna and other Panjapandavas visited Bhishmacharya. He remembers this incident and says, O Lord, if I would have received one shloka which you have given to Arjuna, I would have given entire Punya Karma to you. Of course, Bhagavan doesn't need Punya Karma, He expresses. That's what he says. Vavahita pratanat mukham nirikshya svachanavadha vimukasya dosha buddhya kumatim aharat atma vidyaya yaha charanaratihi paramasya tasya meyas. Let that feet of the Lord be on my head who has removed the ignorance of Arjuna when Arjuna suffered samsara. Kumatim aharat. Atma vidyaya kumatim. Kumati means what? Ignorance. Aharat, one who removed the ignorance of Arjuna through Atma vidyaya. So Atma vidya is the solution for samsara. Therefore Gita begins the assertion. What is that assertion? In the second chapter we saw 11th shloka. Panditaha na anushochanti. Intelligent men don't grieve. As long as grief is there, as long as sorrow is in anybody's life, he is called apanditaha. He is an ignorant. And the Gita Shastram ends with the assertion, sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. So shoka nivritti is defined as mokshaha, and that shoka nivritti happens through panda. Panda means atma jnana. Wise man knows that this world is himself. Wise man knows that world is nothing but the manifestation of my own consciousness. But ignorant man thinks that the world wants to catch me. Wise man thinks world is me. Ignorant man thinks world is trying to catch me. That's why every human mind has that insecurity. So therefore, for this insecurity, Atma Jnanam is the only solution. Any other solution will be a temporary one. Any other solution, whether it is Atsa or Kama or Dharma, any other solution will be a temporary one, and ultimately it will lead to another problem. That's what we find in our life. We go to a doctor with a headache. He gives a tablet. Headache goes, but what? Ulcer comes. And we go to a doctor again for the sake of ulcer. Ulcer goes, some other problem comes. Like that, Atma Jnanam is the only solution. Any other solution is a temporary one and will cause more suffering. All the Upanishads declare this. Na anyam pantaha vidyate ayanaya tamevam vidvan amrita ihabhavati na anyam pantaha vidyate ayanaya. In one Upanishad. Then another one. Nityo nityanam chetanashchetananam yeko bahunam yo vidyatati kaman tam atmastam ye anupashyanti dhira tesham sukham na idaresham tesham shantihi na idaresham. Very emphatic statement it is. If at all anybody wants to have shanti and sukham, there is only one way. What is that? Ye anupashyanti dhiraha. Shastram anupashyanti dhiraha. Dhiraha means wise man. Otherwise, avidyaya mantare vartamana swayam dhira panditam manyamana yanganyamana paryanti mudha andhye naiva niyamana yathanta. Upanishad scolds the people who are ignorant and who consider themselves as wise. He says, going behind them will be like a blind man leading another blind man. Therefore, Bhagavan prescribes Atma Vidya as the solution. For gaining Atma Vidya, one should have Yogyata. Yogyata means qualification. Any learning presupposes qualification. Here, Atma Jnana requires, what is that? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. For that Yogyata Praptihi, you can take the help of Bhakti Yoga or Karma Yoga, meditation, values, all others are expected. That's why we find a place for them also in this Atma Vidya Shastra. So in the second chapter, Bhagavan revealed Atma Swarupam. Atma is Nityaha. Atma means what? Not something behind this cloud. Not even inside our body. Atma is a conscious entity, it is an all-pervasive entity, it happened to be an advitiya vastu, and myself, which is expressed in the word I. So when Shastra says Atma Nityaha, what does that mean? Aham Nityaha, I am going to be eternal. When my mind says I am going to die, Shastra says you are eternal, not you are going to be eternal, you are already eternal. And Atma Satya Vastu, you are the only real thing in the creation. I find other than me, all are real things in life. Money is real, people are real, position is real. That's why very imagination of losing them makes me afraid of. Just one day you sit in your house, close your eyes and start thinking, just a imaginary meditation. Just meditate like tomorrow, we are all going to Tirupati. On the way, entire family gets an accident. All fellows are gone away, leaving me alone. My backbone has already broken and I cannot even walk. What will happen? By the time all the loans who have given bank fellows have come and seized my house. Just imagine it. What will happen? You will shiver. You will shiver. Very imaginary loss makes a person to be afraid of, because I find other than me, everything in the creation happened to be a reality. But Shastra says, you are the only reality. Swami Vivekananda used to write autograph. You can see one of his photo he has written. You are the only treasure in the entire creation. You are the only treasure. All other treasures are after your existence. Tameva bhantam anubhasitam. Therefore, have that self-confidence. Self-confidence means what? Not on the 50 kilo self or 5 feet 8 inches self. Self-confidence means confidence based on your own core existence. Then it says, Sarvagataha, you are all-pervasive entity, not a limited entity. Your physical body is limited, accepted, but you are not limited. And you are Aprameyaha. Everything in the creation is available for you to know. You are not available to be known by any other pramana. You exist, therefore all other things are existing. To know whether so-and-so is there, to know whether so-and-so object is there, we need pramana, whether ears or eyes or skin or something. But to know whether I am there or not, do I need any pramana? So therefore I am aprameyaha, I am behind the camera, not in front of the camera. I am not in front of the camera, I am not within the photograph of my life, I am behind the photograph of my life. Then Bhagavan revealed that you are akarta, you cannot do any action. In fact, your mind and body is doing all the actions. You are akarta. Being akarta, you don't have papa and punyam. Abhokta, you are abhokta. Nirvikaraha, asangaha, like that. So many nature of our own real core personality was revealed in the second chapter. Then when Arjuna was scratching his head in trying to understand this, Bhagavan understood, so now mind is not ready, so mind should be made ready. So he started explaining the role of Karma Yoga in making that mind as a qualified mind. Practice Karma Yoga, gain Chitta Shuddhi, then Guru Prapti will be there, then finally you can attain this Atma Jnanam. Then Bhagavan revealed the benefit of that Atma Jnanam in the Sthira Prajna portion. Arjuna asked, Sthira Prajnasya Ka Bhasha, how a wise man lives in this world after gaining the knowledge. Whether he will be walking in a normal way or he will be walking upside down. Whether he will eat eatli only or he will eat his plate also. Because Samadarshatva is there. All is Brahman. So idli is Brahman, plate also is Brahman. Instead of eating idli, he will eat a plate. Whether any confusion is there in his mind, how he will sit, how he will talk, whether he will sit in Padmasana only or normal asana he will sit, whether he will talk only in Sanskrit or normal language he will talk, like that he asked. So Bhagavan revealed it. What was that revelation? For all practical purpose, he is a most common man. He was a most common and simple man for all practical purposes. Being with him will not make anyone to feel that I am lower than him. What we feel when we are in front of others? We feel either we are superior to that person or we feel we are inferior to that person. But in the presence of a jnani, we will find that I am also jnani. He will tell, you are Bhagavan. Jnani will address everyone that you are Bhagavan. Find out that reality in your life. So it will be a happy occasion to be with him. But Arjuna, being Manda Adhikari, he could not understand even the role of Karma Yoga also. Therefore, he asked a question about the necessity of Karma Yoga at the beginning of the third chapter. Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tat kim karmani ore maam niyojayasi keshava. Because Bhagavan told, jnana is the highest gain. Jnana is the highest gain and the only solution. Therefore, you do Karma Yoga, he told. He should have told, therefore you do Jnana Yoga. Bhagavan told, jnana is the highest, therefore you do Karma Yoga. This therefore only was problem for Arjuna. So he asked, according to you, jnana is higher than the karma, then why you want me to perform the ghore karmani niyojayasi, not the ordinary karma, karma of killing everyone. Then Bhagavan told, jnana is the highest. That jnanam requires yogyata, qualification. For that qualification, you have to perform karma yoga. Therefore, you do karma yoga. That in-between idea was left. So, Bhagavan again opened the karma yoga topic in the third chapter and elaborately speaks about. He says, there is no option between performance of karma yoga and going for jnana yoga. Everyone has to do karma yoga, gain yogyata and go for jnana vicharam. It's not a question of option. There is an option with regard to lifestyle of a person, of a sadhaka. He can be an householder or he can be a sannyasi. But there is no option with regard to sadhanas. People think that each sadhana will have same goal. We have to understand in a proper way that each sadhana will lead to the goal called jnanam ultimately. Ultimately we have to add. So Bhagavan described there are two types of marga, that is nivritti marga and pravritti marga. For a qualified person means what? Who has that maturity to be away from all the things, to be relatively independent. For him, this complete renunciation from his duties is okay. But for 99% of majority, pravritti marga is the way. A person has to go through this pravritti marga. Lokesmin divita nishta pura prokta mayanagha jnana yogena sankhyana karma yogena yogina. Thus, entire Vedic teaching was given in these two chapters, second chapter and the third chapter. Therefore, actually Gita is completed. Nothing is there to explain. More than this, nothing is there to explain. Bhagavan Shankaracharya says in the introduction for fourth chapter, Yaha ayam yogaha adhyaya dvayena uktaha jnana nishta lakshanaha tasanyasaha karma yoga upayaha yasmin vedartha parisamaptaha pravritti lakshano nivritti lakshanascha. So his entire teaching is over. Now we have to say shanti, shanti, shanti. But what happens? Before telling shanti, Bhagavan himself wants to glorify this teaching. What is the teaching? Twofold teaching for gaining freedom from emotional problems of human life. Pravritti lakshanaha, nivritti lakshanaha, twofold teaching. Pravritti lakshana means karma yoga, nivritti lakshana means jnana vichara marga. When both are taught, Gita parisamaptaha is. Gita parisamaptaha, Gita teaching is over. When Gita teaching over means what? Vedartha parisamaptaha. It is nothing but the Vedartha. Vedartha means teaching of the entire Veda. Vedic vision about the human being is you are Param Brahma. That is the Vedic vision. Though our parents call us a monkey, though our teachers call us an idiot, Veda calls us what? Amritasya Putra. You are Param Brahman. Not an iota lesser than this status. So that vision has to be taken into account and we have to think about what he wants to say about me. Something unique, very hearing itself, when everybody scolds us, Veda says, you are beautiful, you are wonderful, you are Nityaha, you are Shuddhaha, you are Muktaha. Just whether we understand or not, it is nice to hear. Suppose somebody, we appoint one fellow, 1,000 rupees, 2,000 rupees, given a salary. Then all the time he is to say, you are Indra, you are Chandra, like that. Like that, Veda says, you are beautiful, wonderful personality. Whether we accept it or not, it is nice to hear daily. That's why Veda Adhyayana should be done. Our Upanishad Adhyayana should be done. The scriptural study should be done. Just to hear good words at least. When everybody scolds me, there are some community whom I don't know. Because rishis we have never seen. So they are telling you are beautiful, this one, that one, like that. At least to keep up our tempo of higher self-image, these things should be heard daily, repeatedly, and we have to find out what is the fact in that statement. Once this statement is given, that is a vision about the human being is what? You are that Param Brahma. Then entire teaching is over. Ayam eva yogaha gita sucha sarvasu vivikshitaha bhagavata. Here he uses the word yogaha in a singular way. Actually, what we learn that there is karma yoga and there is jnana yoga like that. There is karma marga and there is jnana marga like that. But here Shankaracharya says it's only one marga. Ayam yogaha is not dual, only one. But two stages. One marga with two stages. That is thought. Therefore, ataha parisamaptam vedartam manvanaha tam jnana yogam vamshakatanena stauti Sri Bhagavan. Now Bhagavan says that this teaching is a time-tested teaching. Don't take it that I am giving some counseling when you are in trouble, like psychiatrists. Psychiatrists know what we are. They have understood this fellow is a patient, so he has to be given some good words. So counseling they give, because they will get money. Bhagavan says, it is not like that. It's a time-tested wisdom. It's a fact about your own nature. And it comes down till day through Guru Shishya Parampara. It is not a one person's understanding or one person's kapola kalpitam, armchair philosophy, but it is a fact revealed by parampara. What millions of years a rishi has found out about the human nature, same thing is found out up to this day by all gurus. Yes, 100 years before also Swami Vivekananda, he could say to the entire humanity, my ideal can be put in a few words, that is, each soul is potentially divine. Same word, Amritasya Putra, potentially divine. So he said, time-tested wisdom comes down till date through Guru Shishya Parampara, and entire humanity was benefited by this teaching, whether he was in India or America or Russia or anywhere. That's why Jesus Christ also can say, but I and the Father am one. He considers the Lord as the Father, so he could say that word. So it is a dependable wisdom. Therefore, fourth chapter begins with the glorification of this teaching. Bhagavan says that it is not his philosophy. It's not Krishna's philosophy, but it is Vedic teaching. And Krishna being the one of the Acharya in this Guru Shishya Parampara. And Bhagavan says that he gave Arjuna this Vedic teaching because Arjuna happened to be his devotee. Devotee means what here? Devotion in the form of Shishyastekam Shati Mam Dvam Prapannam. Shati means teach. So you are my devotee and you are my dear friend also. Therefore, Bhagavan says now in the first shloka of fourth chapter, imam vivasvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivasvan manave prah manurikshvakave bravi. In this shloka, Bhagavan wants to clarify that this Gita teaching is not a new teaching. Very, very important point. that it is not a new teaching, that it is a Vedic teaching which has come from Anadikala Guru Parampara. There are two types of Guru Parampara. One is Grihastha Guru Parampara. Householders also were wise men in those days. So the Grihastha Guru Parampara is there and Sannyasi Guru Parampara is there. Sannyasi Guru Parampara starts with Brahmaji, Brahmaji to Brahmaji is a Grihastha, okay? He has given all the portfolio of creation. So he is a Grihastha. Then first children who are they? Sanakati Rishi. Sanaka Sanadana Sanantana Sanat Kumar. Sanakati Rishi. They refused to marry. Then they went Harisharanam, Harisharanam, Harisharanam. But already knowledge has come. So they could not be taught. So therefore Brahmaji has to create Marichyadi Prajapati. They are called Prajapati. Prajapatis are householders. So two types of paramparas come from very beginning itself. Bhagavan being an avatara, he says, as the Srishti Karta, I only gave this teaching in the form of Vedas. And as the avatara, I have come to revive this Vedic teaching and I have taught you the same Vedic teaching. Thus we should understand that this teaching is parampara praptam. Every Vedanta Acharya is only a link connecting the Sanatana Dharma. No Acharya founded any new philosophy. We should be very careful in understanding the teachings of Acharya. Because we find that one one Acharya says one one thing. You read Gosula of Sri Ramakrishna, you will come across one conclusion. You read complete verse of Swami Vivekananda, you understand in one way. You read Mother's teaching, you understand in another way. And Shankaracharya Bhashyam totally appears to be contradicting. So which to follow what? Therefore we should keep always in mind, any teaching comes from human mind is not dependable. And no Acharya never ever claimed that it is my teaching. No one claimed. All the people all the time told what? It is the same teaching. Sri Ramakrishna Gosula, you will come across all jackals howl in a same way. All jackals howl in a same way. Similarly, no Acharya founded any new philosophy. And no Acharya wants to be away from Vedic Parampara. Because that Acharya knows, if I am away from Vedic Parampara, I will be thrown away. I will be thrown away. That is the reason Buddhism was thrown away. The Hindu community has thrown away Buddhism, the teachings of Buddha, kept Buddha with us. Nice. It has kept the individual with us as avatara, but is teaching what? Not accepted. Thrown away. Not a single literature available now in Pali language. So the Acharyas, Acharyas means what? Whether he is an avatara or great saint or Mahatma, anyone, they know the weakness of disciples. The disciples, sentimental fools. Generally, disciples are sentimental fools. They give up the principle and take the person. Their understanding was, as I am going on glorifying that person, I will be an important person because I can claim that I live with that great person. So for that reason I glorify this Mahatma, that Mahatma, leaving the principle for which that Mahatma stood the whole life. So disciples and followers try to project their own Acharya as something special, unique, because of some emotional attachment due to attachment to that personality. It is done in a good intention only, but the result is what? Damaging one. It's a damaging one. They damage the very personality at all. So they create an ism in the name of their guru, in the name of their spiritual teacher. They create an ism, Shankarism. Are you Shankarite or are you Ramakrishnaite? People ask. As though both are different. The elderly Swamiji asked me when I was a Brahmachari, are you Shankarite or are you Ramakrishnaite? I told, I am Atmaite Maharaj. An intelligent person's understanding, nothing is different. Both are told in different language at the different context and different social atmosphere. to the different audience. So we have to have the guidance of that Guru Parampara to find out what is the essence of their teaching, and that teaching is not against the Vedic teaching. Because without the support of Veda, no teaching can stand in this land, however great it may be. No teaching is possible because all the teachings are available in the Veda. All the teaching. Any philosophy of any religion you take, any theology of any religion you take, it is available in our Vedic philosophy. But due to ignorance, devotees of Krishna, they have started what? Krishna conscious. And they won't tell even Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. They will tell what? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Who is elder? Rama only elder. If you take any meaning of Rama, whether he is Ramchandra Prabhu or Balarama, who is elder? Rama only elder. Because of that attachment to one particular personality, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So Krishna is some devotees of Shankara create what? Shankara Vedanta it is called. You can find out some books also. And devotees of Ramakrishna and Vivekananda, now they have a Neo Vedanta. That's what one Acharya is to tell. If it is Vedanta, it is not new. If it is new, it cannot be Vedanta. If it is Vedanta, it is Upanishad. If it is new, it cannot be Upanishad. So there is nothing called Neo Vedanta. Bhagavan knows this weakness of human mind in the form of disciples. So therefore he says, hey Arjuna, don't put me in that list that I have found out something new, that I have discovered in my meditation. Don't put me in that list. Whatever was revealed in the Vedic teaching, same thing which I got in the Guru Parampara or which I remember being an avatar. Because he is going to tell, ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropi san prakriti swam adhishtaya sambhavam, is going to tell. So this jnanam happened to be my own nature. Therefore Bhagavan says, imam avyayam yogam aham vivasvate proktavan. You can see in the first line of the shloka, imam avyayam yogam, this teaching which is imperishable. Avya yoga means imperishable. As even world comes into existence, this teaching also comes into existence. As even world goes back to resolution, teaching also goes back to resolution. Pravaha nityatvam they call it. Two types of nityatvam. One is absolute eternity, which happened to be the nature of Atman or consciousness. Another is what? Continuous eternity. It comes into existence and goes back to Vyakta form, then comes into Vyakta form. Like that, it is Avyayam Yogam Aham Proktavan. Here Bhagavan talks as a Vishnu, not as Mr. Krishna. Because Mr. Krishna cannot teach Surya. Surya is elder. From the date of birth angle, Surya Devata, Vivaswan. Vivaswan means what? Surya Devata. Vivaha means Annam. Annam Asya Asti Iti Vivaswan. So Surya Devata is considered here, Vivaswan. So he is elder according to date of birth. Mr. Krishna cannot teach. Mr. Krishna is after so many millennia. So therefore here Bhagavan talks as Bhagavan Vishnu. He says, imam yogam jnana yogam sakarma sadhanam avyaya phalatvat avyayam yogam. The phala of this yoga, why it is called avyayam? One is imperishable, another is the result which is going to give also is imperishable. What is that imperishable result? Moksha pradanatva. It gives moksha, eternal freedom from samsara. Therefore it's called avyayam yogam. Another meaning is sanatanam. Sanatana means what? Never irrelevant to any human mind. At any point of time you can say it is relevant till date in the modern age also, which we call, though it is not modern in the real sense, at least in the dress sense it is modern, or some other sense, gadget sense or technological sense, it is modern. In this age also there is a great relevance for this teaching. So no one can destroy this teaching totally, therefore it is called Avyayam Yogam. So I gave this teaching to Vivaswan Srishti Kale, during the Srishti, and Vivaswan Manave Praha. Surya Devata gave this teaching to his son Manu. And Manuhu Ikshvakave Abravid. Manu gave this teaching to his son and disciple Ikshvaku. Bhagavan gave to his son Brahmaji, through Brahmaji to Vivaswan, through Vivaswan to all our Grihastha Guru Parampara is mentioned here. Father to son to father to son, like that it comes. So Manu gave to Ikshvaku, who happened to be his own son. Thus this Guru Shishya Parampara was maintained from the time immemorial. Grihastha Guru Parampara is mentioned here, and that too Kshatriya Guru Parampara is mentioned here. Vivaswan is a Kshatriya, and our Manuhu also is a Kshatriya, and Ikshvaku Kula is whose Kula? Surya Vamsha it is called. Surya Vamsha Raja, wherein Bhagavan Ramchandra came into existence. Who is talking here? Chandra Vamsha. Krishna is talking about the Surya Vamsha, Ikshvaku Parampara. So Grihastha Parampara, one Grihastha Parampara goes Vashishta, Vamadeva, like that. Another Grihastha Parampara goes Kshatriya Parampara, Surya, Manu, Ikshvaku, Ramchandra Prabhu, like that. So Bhagavan continues. Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajarshayo Viduhu Sakale Neha Mahata Yogo Nashtav Parantapa. Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Jnanam. Imam, the word is equal to Jnanam, Atma Jnanam. The Atma Vidya Evam Praptam. In this way, from Guru to Shishya it has come. Parampara Praptam. This wisdom comes down to the world in the form of Guru Shishya Parampara. Rajarshayaha Viduhu. Wise kings had this wisdom, they knew this knowledge. Rishihi means what? Rishati Jnanadi Atma Tattvam iti Rishihi. One who knows the Atma Tattvam, Atma Jnani, is called a Rishihi. Rajarshayaha means what? Rajarishihi, plural. Plural of Rajarishi. Rajarishi means what? Rajanahascha te rishayaha. One who is by profession Raja, and at the same time is a wise man. One meaning. Another meaning is Rajanascha rishayascha. Both Kshatriyas also have this wisdom, and Brahmanas also had this wisdom. Now that wisdom seems to be Iha Saha Yogaha Nashtaha. Iha means in this world, Saha Yogaha, this wisdom seems to disappear. That means what? Nashtaha means Adarshanaha. Glanihi, Shankaracharya writes, Adarshanaha. Adarshanaha means what? Not available popularly in the society. Books are available popularly in the society, but this wisdom is not available popularly in the society. Teachers are not there who can talk about this great thing which cannot be talked about. Which cannot be talked about, which cannot be talked about, the teacher is telling all the time. But all the time, whole lifetime he talks about that only. That is what you need, a special capacity, a technique to talk about this. Ascharyo Vakta Kushalasya Labha. The Vakta is a rare entity. You can find the good speakers in regard to other subjects, but this subject is very rare. Now and then it becomes unpopular, not available for every human being. Why it is not available? Bhagavan says, Mahata Kalena. It's a beautiful reason. Mahata Kalena means what? Due to long passage of time. What is the connection between the disappearance of this wisdom and the long passage of time? In the long passage of time, there is a discontinuity in the Guru Parampara. Because unless this generation gets disciples, next generation will not get gurus. Okay. So this generation are all for IT sector. So no disciple ready at all. He says, I will become straight away guru and sit in front of media and give lecture. No, it is not possible. One generation doesn't get shishya, next generation naturally will not get gurus at all. So due to discontinuity in the guru parampara or due to absence of seekers, Sri Shankaracharya writes, durbalan ajitendriyan prapya imam yogam nashtah. Durbalan ajitendriyan. Durbalan means who? When the society becomes materialistic and consumeristic society, people become slave to sensory pleasures. There is no strength. Balam means what? Strength. Mental vigor. Intellectual capacity. Emotional strength. When the society becomes a consumeristic or a what you call materialistic society, so naturally the mind is slave to the sense pleasures. And once a person goes for sense pleasures, naturally his mental vigor, mental energy goes away. Therefore he becomes a durbalaha and becomes too weak to practice any spiritual discipline. So 12 hours he is ready to sit in front of computer and do something, but half an hour he is not ready to sit in front of the Lord. Our young boys nowadays, mobile phone, they can type SMS without seeing the mobile phone. But you ask them to take one japamala and do same typing only. Typing is done in mobile phone with finger, thumb. And japamala also, thumb is used while rotating the japamala, thumb only is used. So they are not ready for rotating the japamala, but they are ready for typing the SMS. That is the condition of the society. That society ceases to be a place for any purushartha. Purushartha means what? Purushena asiyate iti purushartha. The beautiful things of human life, which can be attained only by human species, so that society becomes incapable of attaining those things. It attains something called wealth or something called sense pleasure, but doesn't gain that shanti or happiness. Freedom from anxiety and fear is not achieved. Whenever this wisdom becomes a rare one means what? Not available for a common man. Bhagavan says, I will become an avatara. For what purpose? To revive this teaching. Entire Krishna avatara is justified because of this Gita teaching. If we remove Gita teaching from Krishna avatara, nothing is there. He lifted Govardhana, small hill. Ravana lifted Himalaya. Ravana lifted entire Himalaya. What Krishna lifted? A small hillock. So no speciality between the Asura and this divine personality if the teaching is not revived. Understood? Krishna also danced with a lot of girls, and all Asuras also had danced with divine girls. Local girls. Asuras danced with whom? All Menaka, Ramba, Urvasi, like that. No difference. So nothing is a differentiating criterion other than this wisdom. So Bhagavan says, I need not come to this world and suffer all the human problems to destroy an asura. From there itself if I tell Hunkara, over, the fellow is over. One asura if I send, the fellow is over. I need not come here and take all the troubles of human life. But if at all I am coming, I have something to teach. Suppose if I teach sitting there, he will tell, it is okay for you, Bhagavan. Don't compel us to follow all those things. It is okay. Sitting in Vaikuntha without any problem, human problem, you can tell so many things. For that we will do arati and we will offer bhoga also, fruits. We will offer it and we will take as prasada. That much over. But I cannot follow you. You come here and marry a girl, have a love affair and see how things are happening. And after marriage, who are all coming and disturbing your life, you come here. So Bhagavan took an extreme stage. In Rama Avatara, what? Wife is carried away on some fellow. But nowadays nobody does like that. Nah. So we are all fortunate in our society. Lama society was worst society. And our parents never asked us to go to forest for 14 years. But his parents asked him to go to forest for 14 years. So we are all fortunate. We don't have that much problem. In spite of those extreme problems, Bhagavan can stand in dharma, in the truth. Why? To teach the humanity. Therefore Bhagavan says, I come down as an avatara to revive this wisdom. Otherwise, what will happen? The society will suffer due to disorderliness. Individual will not have any direction for his life. As the present generation, no individual has direction. The maximum goal they can think of is what? Sitting in one office in America, USA. That's all they know. That much. One flat in USA or something. One car. Rolls Royce car. Some money, 5-digit salary or 6-digit salary. This much only. The entire student life goes away. 20-25 years studying daily at least 6 hours, 8 hours. You study the 20-25 years Shastra for 6 hours, 8 years. Bhagavan will come and sit in front of you. And he will tell, hey, please talk about Shastra, I want to hear. All fellows come to my temple bringing all the appeal and application. My ears have become very sore. Please talk about something great. So he will come and sit in front of you. Like that devotee. The devotee was a blind person, Surdas. Krishna used to come and sit in front of him and ask him to think something, tell something about the greatness of the Lord. So we spend lot of days and months and years just for what? To get the first employment. That's all. That certificate also has no value after getting that employment. After that you have to prove your inner capacity. So, society, especially individuals, will not have any direction for their life. The society becomes an hellish one with all sorts of vices. It becomes an hellish one. The ideal society described in our Vedic culture is the society in which rulers and teachers are with higher ideals. These two categories they kept intact. Teachers are called Brahmana and rulers are called Kshatriyas. So when rulers and teachers are kept intact with higher ideals and with higher character, the entire society, minimum, the number is minimum. The number of rulers and number of teachers are minimum, but still they only hold the entire society. When they are good, entire society receives that goodness. So in which rulers and teachers are with knowledge. Knowledge about dharma and adharma, right and wrong. Knowledge about atma and anatma, nitya and anitya. Knowledge about the impermanent and permanent things. They should have this knowledge. Without dharma, the ruler becomes what? Without the knowledge of dharma, without the character of dharma, the ruler becomes what? An asura ruler. That's why in many countries till date we find person under whom all become indirectly even slaves. And without dharma, the teacher becomes a cheater. Teacher becomes a cheater without dharma, without knowledge of dharma. Therefore, this knowledge is very, very important for all, especially for the rulers, so that they can serve the society. Without the idea of dharma, if anybody comes to rule, what happens? What happens now will happen all the time. What happens now? Those fellows whom are elected to protect this nation are selling away the nation and national wealth in the form of mines, in the form of 2G scam. These are all natural resources of this nation. They are selling away. Why? Dharma is not there. So, this knowledge is very, very important to the ruler to serve the society, to consider himself as the servant of the society, not as the master of the society, because he has lots of power. If he is not a dharmic person, he will misuse this power and he will torture the society. Therefore, this knowledge is very, very important to use his powers judicially without any selfishness or without any whims and fancies. That's why we find here one MLA comes and builds bridge, another MLA comes and protests and takes away that bridge. Both way money is spent. One person comes and puts the road, another fellow after 6 months comes and digs the road. Why? Because selfishness is there. These are all whims and fancies of the rulers. So undigested power will corrupt and ultimately destroy that person. If a person doesn't have digestion power to digest the power which he had, the ruling power, he will be totally destroyed. Ravana, when Ravana received that power from Shiva, Bhagavan Shiva, what happened? He could not digest because dharma was not there for him. So ultimately it destroyed him, and it destroyed his own kula. Entire Rakshasa kula was destroyed because of one person's mistake. This knowledge is important to the teachers also. Why? Without this knowledge, they cannot be models to the society. They cannot be a model person with character. And without they themselves knowing, they cannot teach to the future generation also. Therefore, Bhagavan says, I am bothered about educating Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas means what? Who are rulers, not caste. Who have this profession called rulers, who have this instinct called ruling instinct, and who have the instinct called knowledge pursuit. For them I am very, very particular. They should get this knowledge. That's why he says, Rajarshayaha Vidhu. All the earlier Rajas and Rishis know all this. Raja protects society by being himself dharmic and by using his power in a dharmic way. And Brahmana protects the society by being himself a model spiritual discipline and by educating the society. Because Raja cannot protect the society just by law. Just by fear of law, he cannot make the society to follow certain things in life. They know how to bypass that law. Our auditors will be there, lawyers will be there to point out the loopholes in the law. They will help us to bypass that law. You go to any office, audit office or any office, all types of things you can find out how you can evade the tax. How you can tell legally a lie. You can tell a lie, but it should be illegally. So there are some loopholes they will teach. So dharma concept should be within our own mind, and that is possible by educating ourselves. Whether traffic police is there or not, I will not cross the signal. I will not jump the signal. The self-responsibility is given by teachers. So both of them should be enlightened. Both the rulers and the teachers should be enlightened. And that wisdom should be received through Guru Parampara. And if Guru Parampara is not a continuous one, if people are not interested in this wisdom, then this wisdom is not given to the future generation, therefore it appears to be lost. It is not lost, but it appears to be lost. At this moment, I take human birth and revive this wisdom. Bhagavan says, Saye vayam maya jetya yoga prokta puratanaha bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam khetad uttamam. This uttamam rahasyam, what is that uttamam rahasyam? Rahasya means what? Secret. There are two types of secret. One is you don't want to share. Certain secrets you don't want to share. One type of secret. Another is, even if you share, it remains a secret. Even if you share, it remains a secret. In that only this Atma Vidya. Even if 100 times it is shared, you are Brahman, you are Brahman, you are Brahman, it remains what? As secret only. I think I have told you this. A brahmachari complained to his guru. Gurudev, he is scolding me. Guru asks, what he scolded? He says, he is telling me, donkey, you are donkey, you are donkey. Then guru told, I am teaching you 12 years, you are Brahman, you are Brahman, you are Brahman. You have not understood that, you have not taken it into your head. He has told just 2-3 times donkey that you have taken. What does it mean? Even though it is shared, it appears as a secret. Bhagavan says, Uttamam Rahasya. This is the greatest secret. Knowing myself, my own real personality, is the greatest secret. The same secret which was given at the Srishti Kala, Sayeva Ayam Yogaha Adya Te Maya Proktaha. Today it is given to you, Arjuna. Adya, today. Why you did not tell before? What is the answer? You did not ask. You asked my sister, you asked well, you asked my sister Subhadra. So I helped you, you asked well, I helped you, you asked Rajya, I helped you. Today only you ask, Shishyastegam Shati Maam Tvam Prapannam. Now only ask, therefore I told, Adya, today I have given, what I have given, whatever I have given to the Vivaswan, same thing I have given, nothing new. Why you have given? Bhaktosimi, you are my devotee, you have surrendered, you have given the responsibility of your life in my hands. So here Bhagavan talks as Bhagavan, it's a Bhagavan Vishnu. Suddenly Arjuna may feel, if I am the Bhakta for Krishna, there is no Bhakta, for Bhagavan only Bhakta. So whether I have lost my friend Krishna, Bhagavan says, no. Being avatar, I am your friend also. Sakha cheti. So Bhagavan emphatically, he will establish that nothing I have given you, don't misunderstand my words and interpret in a wrong way that I have given something new which is greater than the Vedantic revelation or which is not told in the Vedantic revelation. Don't misinterpret it that way. Whatever I have given in the Veda, same teaching may be in a new model. Language also not different. Veda also in Sanskrit, Gita also in Sanskrit only. In a new model I have given to you. So take this wisdom, become a wise person and be happy. This statement of Bhagavan will create a doubt in the mind of Arjuna. How can Krishna say that I taught Vivaswan? How can my dear Krishna say that I have given this wisdom to Vivaswan? Being Krishna, Aparam Janmaha. Krishna being the later one who came into existence as Mr. Krishna. Those details we will see in the next class.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo.